The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, it is possible to learn something from the liturgy. Now, you say it, sing it week after week, and actually some of us find that repetition good and helpful and reminding us of important truths of the Scriptures. And among those things that the liturgy teaches us is our need of mercy and that God is gracious and merciful to the undeserving. Mercy is not giving someone what they deserve. Mercy is coming to help someone in their great need. Mercy is feeling someone's burden and taking it up as though it were your own burden and lightening the load for them. In the liturgy, how many times do we ask God to show His mercy upon us? Just think about today. We ask Him to have mercy upon us for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Kyrie, three times, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, by the way, we say, Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. And then in the extended Kyrie, each petition, each bid in that Kyrie, Lord, have mercy upon us. In the preface to Holy Communion, we hear about the mercy of God. In the introit for today, we pleaded with the Lord to hear our cry for mercy. And in today's gospel reading as well, even though that word mercy is not used, we can assume that those who brought this deaf mute to Jesus and begged Him to lay a hand upon him, we're asking Jesus to have mercy. Jesus is full of mercy. His works are works of mercy. When He called the disciples to come and follow Him, He showed His mercy to them. When He saw the tax collector, Matthew, sitting alone and despised at his poll booth, collecting the money for the taxes, and people were shunning him or saying bad things about him, grumbling against him after they paid their taxes, and Jesus called him to be a disciple, Jesus was showing mercy to Matthew. When He made the lame walk, those who could not move their legs, those who could not stand on their own feet without someone's assistance, Jesus was showing mercy to them. When He opened the eyes of the blind, there was mercy, God's mercy, present in the flesh and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. When He cast out demons who held these poor, tormented souls in their skeletal grip, torturing them, afflicting them, giving them a taste of hell in their daily lives, and Jesus set them free, He was showing mercy upon them. When He raised up Jairus' daughter and the widow of Nain's son, and Lazarus, Jesus was showing God's mercy in doing that. And so that mercy is shown. When people brought to Jesus this deaf man who had a speech impediment, and He heard their pleas for mercy. We don't know who it was that brought Jesus, brought this man to Jesus. Maybe friends, maybe family, maybe parents, we don't know. But Jesus heard their plea for mercy, and he took this deaf man aside from the crowd privately. This was going to be a one-on-one act of mercy. It wasn't going to be like feeding the multitude. One-on-one. And look what Jesus does. He puts his fingers into this man's ears. And he spits. That sounds curious to us, but maybe that spitting was a form of rebuking the devil. And then Jesus touched the man's tongue. Now, sometimes when I'm distributing the sacrament and you receive the host in your mouth, I touch your lip or touch your tongue. And, you know, I really shouldn't do that, but it happens. But here's Jesus. Notice the intimacy of contact with this deaf mute. There's physical contact. The fingers of God in the flesh are placed into this man's ears. That's the holy spit of God that comes out of Jesus' mouth. Kind of odd to think about it that way. And that's the finger of God that touches this man's tongue. And it is God become man. Come down from heaven into this world that has such a crying need of God's mercy and God's attention and God's help and God's compassion and God's loving kindness. It's this man who looks up to his Father in heaven. And he sighs, not just, I imagine it's a great sigh coming from the depths of his soul. It's the sigh with which he gave up his spirit when he died on the cross for the sins of the world. It's a sigh that comes from way down inside of the one who will bear in his holy flesh all the sins, all the filth, all the despair, all the pain, all the sickness, all the death, all the agony, all the hopelessness of a world that would otherwise be outcast from God if it were not from this man. And Jesus fills the brokenness, the torment, the sin, the death, the darkness in his soul, and he sighs, ah! So I think. And he said to the man, Ephatha, be opened. Let those deaf ears be opened so they can hear again. The sound of friends' voices, the sounds of little birdies singing in the trees. The sound of a baby's cry. The sound of water flowing. The sound of someone saying thank you. The sound of someone saying, here, this is for you. And especially the sound that comes when the word of God is proclaimed and preached. The sound of the words of God's mercy to sinners. The sound of Jesus' voice. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Don't know what he said. Maybe he said, oh boy, I can talk now and I'm not going to shut up for 5 weeks. Or perhaps he said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord and sing his praise. God has had mercy upon me, and he has set me free and delivered me from my affliction. My eyes have seen God in the flesh, and my tongue will proclaim his name." At any rate, Jesus charged them all to tell no one. Why did Jesus do that? You'd think Jesus would want to get his name out. Well, he didn't want people to think that he was just a Messiah who did wonders, and to overlook the fact that he was going to the cross to die for the sins of the world. He didn't want anything to get in the way of the cross, between him and the cross, because that is why he came. "This must happen," Jesus said. "This is God's will for me, that the Son of Man be betrayed in Jerusalem and handed over into the hands of sinful men and be scorned and be tortured and be crucified and die and on the third day be raised again." That is why Jesus came. Yes, to have mercy upon us. Yes, to make us new in body and soul. But you know what? A lot of times that doesn't happen in this world. You know, think of the people you know who are sick, afflicted with various complaints and illnesses. Think of the people you know who have died. Think of yourself and your own afflictions. But here's when it will happen. Because of Jesus' mercy extended to you here and now in the gospel, when Christ comes again, when Christ returns to make all things new, you, his people, you who trust in the name of Jesus, you whom he has had mercy upon, will receive the full dump truck load, the full bucket load of his mercy then, as he raises you up and makes you new completely in body and in soul and in spirit. And you will have those thousand tongues, maybe not literally, but certainly figuratively, to sing your great Redeemer's praise, the glories of your God and King who has come to you and has had mercy upon you in the gospel of his dear Son, the one who has baptized you in snatching you out of this world of darkness and pain and suffering and sin and death, and giving you life and giving you hope and giving you purpose and joy even in the midst of your afflictions. Yeah, God has had mercy upon you. He does have mercy upon you in Christ Jesus, and he will have mercy upon you, mercy greater than anything you can possibly imagine and even hope for, because he gave his Son for you. You are baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, and you, in repentance and in faith, eat of Jesus' body and drink of his blood in the Holy Sacrament, where the mercy of the cross comes to you individually in intimacy of contact as that body, that blood are placed into your mouth. Jesus has mercy upon you. Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, guess what? The more zealously they proclaimed it, because they were astounded. They were overwhelmed. Nothing could shut them up. They talked and talked and talked about the mercy of Jesus and what great things he had done for this their friend, this their loved one. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. Look at this. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute to speak." So he does with us. He opens our ears. He makes us who are deaf to God's word to hear that word and learn it gladly. He makes us who may be shy or intimidated or backward and not feel like we can tell anyone about Jesus, because they might laugh at us. Hey, we've known his mercy, we'll do that. But there's more to Jesus making the deaf to hear and the mute to speak, because these things are signs prophesied in today's Old Testament reading of the coming of the Messiah's age. The age when God has mercy upon his people, when he comes with vengeance to save us. And the sign of this, the arrival of this age, right there in Isaiah, the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Boom, they see. The ears of the deaf unstopped. Zoom, they hear. The lame man shall leap like a deer. Nureyev, Barishnikov. And the tongue of the mute sing for joy because of the mercies of God. Do we believe that? Do we even look for it? Or are we so preoccupied with other things that it just ain't too important to us, as long as we've got our toys in this world and our houses and our cars and all the nice things in life that we Americans expect as our entitlement? Well, there are those today's epistle reading reminds us who don't have all those nice things, who don't even have the basics of life. James asked, what good is it, my brothers, my fellow Christians, if someone says he has faith in Jesus but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and be filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Scripture says, as God has shown mercy to you, show mercy to one another. As God has been merciful to us in Christ Jesus, in all kinds of ways, so we, the recipients of that mercy, the beneficiaries of that mercy, are called to have mercy to others. Now, God didn't say to us, be forgiven, be saved, go your own way. I'm finished with you. God sent his Son into our human nature, into this flesh, this body, like ours, that is afflicted with various ills, a body that can grow tired and weary, a body that can sicken, a body that feels hunger, a body that feels thirst, a body that feels pain, a body with a mind and heart that sometimes feel despair. That's the incarnation. Jesus entered into this condition, our condition, to have mercy upon us. And as Christians, we don't stay here in our nice, cozy cubicle and ignore the needs of the world around us, because that's not what God did. God has called us in Christ Jesus. What a mercy that is. God has saved us. We know that. God provides for our daily needs. We know that. And knowing that, recognizing that, we go out into the world, outside of these walls, outside of our comfort zone, with the good news of Jesus, proclaiming that news zealously, showing mercy zealously. Even showing forth God's love in Christ zealously, so that others can be astonished beyond measure, so that others can know and appreciate and take hold of and benefit from the mercy of God in Christ Jesus, not merely in this world, but for all eternity, that they too might have that thousand tongues to sing their great Redeemer's praise. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.